The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Do an exercise and exploration with you around something that I've been talking about for the last few days, is this way of being mindful where we can... it's kind of got two sides to it. It's a more open kind of mindfulness where we're not specifically choosing what to pay attention to. And it's a kind of a sense of following what is naturally in our attention. This is a helpful kind of mindfulness to cultivate for our daily life practice. Often we kind of conflate or think that if we're not choosing what to be mindful of, then we're not being mindful. And the mindfulness can, rather than being connected with directing the attention, instead kind of settle back, almost as if you were a passenger in the back seat of a car, and just following where the attention is taking you. Yeah.
Is this the difference between concentration and,
I would say, you said awareness, but I'd say mindfulness. In some ways, concentration has different forms. Concentration, the typical way we think of concentration is to focus our attention on one thing, direct our attention to that and come to that, let go of everything else, just, you know, keep coming back. And a form of concentration develops from that. There's another form of concentration that comes from just being present, non-reactive to what is arising. And that's more the style of what this kind of exercise is taking us to. So there's a kind of concentration that can develop from this just knowing, following the awareness. It's got a different name. It's called moment-to-moment concentration, momentary concentration. So it's not that we're staying with one experience, but it's more that awareness is continuous. The mindfulness is continuous. Very similar states of mind can come up in both sides. We can be the mind can feel quite present, quite non-reactivity is present in both sides. Joy can come, tranquility of mind can come. So there's some very similar aspects to the two states, but on the other hand, they feel quite different, partly because of the nature of what is being experienced. In one case, the object becomes quite still. It's almost like we absorb into the object, the breath, the sound, whatever we've chosen as our object of concentration. In the other case, it's more that we're in just the flow of changing experience. And so it can feel very dynamic, whereas the concentration of one object begins to feel very still. The concentration of moment-to-moment concentration feels pretty dynamic, or can feel very dynamic. But it's non-reactive. Just moment-to-moment, we're meeting everything. And it's the continuity of the mindfulness that supports that non-reactivity. And actually, I just gave a talk on Tuesday morning about kind of that topic. So if you're interested in a little more detail, you can listen to that talk. So the exercise I'd like to do is called Mindfulness Out Loud. And we'll do it in pairs. And it'll be relatively short. I'd like to take about, say, half of our time this morning with this exercise, and then the other half of our time with descriptions of what's going on in your practice. So a little bit of context setting or a description of the exercise. So in pairs, each of you will take a turn, one of you will begin, by basically narrating your experience, but in a particular form. You'll use the phrase, "Now I am aware of," and then say what you're aware of. And you just keep that phrase going. Now I'm aware of hearing. Now I'm aware of pressure. Now I'm aware of contraction. Now I'm aware of pulsing. Now I'm aware of dryness. Now I'm aware of sleepiness. Now I'm aware of dryness. Now I'm aware of happiness. Now I'm aware of searching. Just kind of keeping it going in that way. And there's two ways that it might happen for you. Often, just as you begin the phrase, "Now I am aware of," something is in your attention, you know, like "now I'm aware of," and hearing is there right then, as I say, "now I'm aware of." And that might be what you choose to say, but often what you discover is by the time you say what it is, that thing is already gone and there's something else there. So one way to do this too is to just launch into the phrase, "now I am aware of," and then in that moment, what is it that's there? So a couple of pointers about this. So again, this is just kind of entering into the stream of experience rather than choosing what it is you're going to be aware of. Seeing what attention is naturally taking in that moment when you become, you know, when that moment comes, as you say, "now I am aware of." Some of you may find body experiences kind of highlighted. I tend to find body experience highlighted, but I also noticed a few mind states as well. So it's not restricted to just body awareness. Some of you may have more of a sense of what's happening in your minds. So if that's what's kind of most up, it's like, what's obvious in that moment? What's obvious for you in that moment? In terms of what is happening in our minds, there may be some things that we wouldn't necessarily think of as being what we're aware of. It's more how we're doing it. I mean, it's like we might find ourselves a little bit anxious about what am I going to say? And now I'm aware of anxiousness. Now I'm aware of anxiousness is happening. Now I'm aware of, you know, it may be that you have a relationship to the experience of resistance, you know, a relationship to the exercise itself of resistance. And so rather than just saying, "well, now I'm aware of," well, and then trying to find something, it's like, well, resistance is coming up, so no, now I'm aware of resistance. Another phenomenon that seems to happen here is that we have such a habit of finding something that we're aware of. We may find our minds kind of looking for something to pay attention to. That's when I said, "now I'm aware of searching." I noticed my mind kind of going, what is it? What is it? What am I aware of? So searching is a phenomenon that we can recognize. Another thing that will sometimes happen is that you know that you're aware, but you're not particularly sure of what it is that you're aware of. Nothing is particularly standing out to you. At that time, you could just say, "well, now I'm aware of knowing," or "now I'm aware of being aware." Another aspect of this is to see if you can enter into the field of direct experience as much as possible, kind of going below concept. For instance, you might be aware, like it might be, "oh, now I'm aware of my hand," or "now I'm aware of my knee." Those are concepts. So what is it that you're aware of in hand, or what is it that you're aware of in knee? Now I'm aware of vibration. Now I'm aware of pressure. Something like that. So that if you find yourself getting ready to speak through the concept, see if you can connect with the experience of the more direct experience below the concept. Because we don't experience hand. We experience vibration, pulsing, tingling, coolness, heat. In the exercise, there's two parts. There's when you're speaking, now I'm aware of, now I'm aware of, and when you're listening. When you're in the listening side, pay attention to what the person is saying. So notice you're listening to content. Now, it's really simple content. So it's not like it's like complicated content that you're listening to. But see if you can be mindful of how it impacts you to hear what somebody else is aware of. What happens to you as you listen to that content. So this is an exploration on the listening side. It's an exploration of that 50-50 mindfulness that I've talked about. 50% of the attention in what they're saying, 50%. Or maybe it's more like 20-80, because it doesn't take a lot of, like, you know, focused, concentrated mind to take in something that simple. So, you know, 20% of your attention on what the person is describing, and 80% of the attention on how does it feel to hear what that person is describing? What happens to you? So we'll do this for... I want to give you enough time to kind of get into it, so we'll do it for 5 minutes per person. And notice how that feels when I say that. another piece here. Sometimes when I do this practice with people, I say it's fine if you have your eyes closed. For this particular time, since we're doing daily life practice, I'd like to suggest you keep your eyes open, because seeing may be part of what you're aware of. Just notice when seeing enters into the field, you know. You don't have to look at the person. In particular, you don't have to stare deeply into their eyes. You know, this is not about that kind of relation. It's more... here you are, sitting here with somebody in front of you, eyes open, you know, you can look around. Sometimes you may look at the person. The other thing that can be interesting or take care with, at least, you know, you may be noticing something in seeing. And again, with seeing, you don't have to say, well, now I'm aware of seeing the chair, or now I'm aware of seeing, you know, your nose. Now I'm aware of seeing is fine. You don't have to identify what it is that you're seeing. Or likewise with hearing. Now I'm aware of, it's not like hearing the car or hearing the popping sound. It's, now I'm aware of hearing. You know what you're hearing. It's mostly important that you recognize where that, where the attention is kind of landing. Okay, so find yourself in pairs. And it's fine to just turn to somebody near you, next to you. And if there's an odd number, I'll work with somebody who's... Are you alone, Leonardo? Come and work with me. Just leave it off.
What I noticed is when I was... verbalizing, it was like a noting, just noting bare sensations. And when I was hearing it, it was like a guided meditation. That's where I was going, oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. It can have that effect that, you know, as somebody else says, oh, now I'm aware of hearing, suddenly, whoo, hearing is happening for you. You're receiving that. How many else have you noticed something like that happening? Yeah. If you're already recording, but... oh, did I just lose it? let's see. I was The rope falling away. Yeah. Ooh. Bummer. Oh well. It's gone. It's there. Poof. It's gone. Okay. So yeah.
It's sort of a reflection of the first time I ever did this. It was. It felt like I was an amoeba-like organism, with just my sense doors reaching out and seeing whether things were pleasant and unpleasant, and it was just very sort of like very base and just interesting. It's like here's the organism doing its thing. It hears. It sees. It touches. There's warmth. You know, and then maybe a thought will come out, and oh, that's something else. But you know, it was really at the metal sort of, base. Uh-huh. I guess. Just interesting.
Yeah, and that's I think that's part of the benefit of this practice. It does put you more into that space of just seeing that even when you're not directing the show, you know, stuff happens. And we can know that the knowing process is functioning, so it can be known. So this kind of practice, you might explore this internally for yourself, perhaps doing your chore, as a way to enter into the mindfulness of that experience for that period of time. You know, now I'm aware of what it is that you're aware of. It brings in that more receptive quality, but it's more continuous. You know, so, you know, the saying, now I'm aware of, it's like you just keep on the merry-go-round of that phrase, and it helps keep you present as a kind of an activity. You know, it's like, now I'm aware of. Yeah. Can record this. another place to explore, one of you was talking about how hard it is to be mindful with other people, in particular probably in conversation. I mean, this is a challenging area. And so one thing to do is if you have a friend who'd be willing to, you know, explore this game with you, you could do this with somebody. Another thing you could do is, you know, go have a lunch where you have the exploration be being mindful, but in a more normal kind of conversation, so that it's, you know, that you're helping each other, you're reminding each other, okay, what we're going to try to do here is be mindful while we're having lunch together, but not have to do it in the mindfulness out loud way. But this is, it gives you a more contained practice environment. This was a very contained practice environment for speaking and being mindful. I've used the analogy of playing basketball before, but I think it's a good one, that if you want to learn how to play basketball, you don't start by putting yourself into a professional basketball game. You start by first practicing on your own, dribbling, shooting baskets, and then you might do a game with somebody you know, you trust, you know, is not going to like run you over. And then you might move to a neighborhood pickup game where people are kind of at your same level. So you stage it, you know, you don't just try to throw yourself into the most difficult situation and expect to learn how to play basketball that way. You do it in structured exercises. And in a way, our sitting meditation is the most basic of the structured exercises for what is it like to be mindful? What is it like to pay attention? We get a sense and familiarity with that. And then expanding it into our daily lives, we might start by doing it when we're alone in activity. So what we've been doing, our chores and the walking through doorways and standing and sitting, etc., all of that, the next level of mindfulness and movement, and then adding people to our mix. And then in the conditions where, like we're in the midst of work or something, You can begin to notice what are the more difficult and easier times when you're in the world. So, for instance, for me, going to the grocery store is a relatively easy place to practice mindfulness. I'm not actively engaging with most people, but there are people around. I can see, you know, what's my response to this person? You know, how does it feel when I see that person approaching me? Is there a connection there? Is there a glance and a smile? And so I just kind of notice the experience in the grocery store, but it's not so much about the conversation, the interaction. There may be a brief conversation with the cashier, but so someplace like the grocery store can be a good place, again, to expand out your skills in being mindful while there are people around. A situation like this, in this kind of a room, gives you a little bit more, because there's a little bit more connection, a little bit more content. And then perhaps maybe one of the most difficult places would be at a party or something, you know, or in a conflicted work meeting. Begin to recognize where it's easier for you to be mindful and where it's more difficult. So some of you have noticed it's easier to be mindful alone. So now in recognizing that, you may begin to see, okay, in situations where there are people around, are there easier times and harder times? And what are those conditions? Just to begin to get a sense of where it is that what are the conditions that are more difficult? When we know what the conditions are that are more difficult, we can begin to infiltrate that with a little bit of interest. Oh, okay, so it's really challenging in that situation. What's happening there? And to not beat yourself up for it, to just clearly recognize, yeah, there are some situations that are more difficult. This is like the professional basketball game. I'm not very skilled yet, so of course I'm getting run over. Okay, you know, so that it doesn't have to, we don't have to have this expectation that, especially in daily life, that our mindfulness is going to be perfectly continuous. It really is a function of the conditions a lot of the times. So, anyone want to move? Let's move on from the exercise and descriptions, reports of what's going on. One extra piece around the purpose. I just thought of this as you were describing your experience. In terms of connecting the purpose with our activities, there's a question we can bring in. I mean, this is kind of allowing that orientation of that intention to inform whatever's happening. So, what might it mean to be peaceful? What might it mean to be loving? What might it mean to be happy? What might it mean to be contented? Whatever your sense of purpose is, what might it mean to be in this very activity, in this very circumstance? To not have to try to figure it out, but to drop it in and then just see what happens. That very dropping it in, if we can remember to drop it in, there is some mindfulness there, and then you can kind of just receive, drop that in and then just see. It's kind of like dropping a pebble into a smooth pond and seeing what the ripples are. You don't have to do anything with it. Just see what happens as you drop that kind of a question in. What might it mean to be your purpose in this very activity? What might it mean to be free in this very activity? One piece to just expand on in your description, you talked about the faith or the trust, essentially. Okay, you know, it's like, well, be aware of this, be aware of all of this stuff, and, you know, okay, you know. It's like initially, and I certainly had this experience when I first started, it's like I read this book, And I got the idea that it would be helpful to be aware or mindful of my difficult states of mind. And, I mean, that's what it said in the book. That would be helpful. And it's like, I don't see how that's going to work. If I pay attention to my anger, it's just going to make me more angry. I mean, but at that point, I'd kind of hit bottom. It's like, well, I'm willing to give it a try. It says it works. That is essentially faith or trust. I mean, and it's not talked about in the usual way. Faith often means faith in something we can't see, or, I mean, in the religious context, it often means faith in a god.
It's more taking
a leap, and we can sometimes take that leap partly because somebody says, yeah, this helped me, you know, this try it, and then it's kind of more of a sense of a willingness to try something we don't see how it's going to work yet, and then as we explore it, we begin to understand how it works. Just as you described, you know, you see, oh, when I allow this experience, it changes how it feels, so that it's not, I'm not so caught up in it, I'm not so reactive, so it gives that space. So we begin to see the benefits, and that fuels our capacity and fuels our willingness to engage. Yeah, so thank you. That was beautiful.